A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's time for WrestleMania 40 predictions. I am Luke Owen, DAD. I'm joined by your Jam That Champion, the truth, the professor, the defending Jam That Champion.
Defending, undisputed, all the rest of them.
Dan Layton is here. He's going to be defending his belt on both nights of WrestleMania. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say both nights because you may lose it on night one.
Yeah.
In which case, Laurie will be going into night two as champion against Sati Niangi, the winners of the 2024 Royal Jambles.
Yeah, and it's also a very strong possibility because let me tell you about this. I don't know how this WrestleMania is going to go. So many pay-per-views over the past year, I've been like, five matches, all feel pretty straightforward. For some reason, this card, I'm like, I can't call it. Half of them.
A lot of them could go either
and
way.
And you can justify, like, why. Some of them, you might be sat there like, oh, no, it's absolutely going to be this. But they've done enough in the storyline to give me justification, reason why they might go the other way.
Yeah.
And that's what's making my brain go a bit funny.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. So, well, let's get into our predictions for this show. Laurie and Sat have given me their predictions, so I'm going to be their avatar for this episode. I'll give my own thoughts along the way.
Great.
But the predictions that matter are the ones that come from Laurie and the ones that come from Sat. Those are what we are here for. I am very excited for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. I know there's been a lot of chatter about this almost feeling like it has the potential to be among the greatest WrestleManias ever, because it really feels like the hype for this year's WrestleMania is probably the most hype I've seen for a WrestleMania maybe since X7, in terms of like everything is so hot at the moment and everyone is so excited for everything that is on this card.
I can't. It's just you say something like that, and it feels like because X7 exists in this kind of like other plane of existence,
and because it was so long ago.
Yeah, exactly. And so there's the joy of history and nostalgia and all that makes it even bigger. But when I then think about all the, I mean, I was excited for every Mania when I was. It's Mania
makes
you excited.
Yeah.
And yet last year, I was looking forward to it. The Bloodline felt really good, and it was really good. 38, fine. 37. Cool. 36, other things were interesting. Like 35, cool. This one is one where I'm like, I'm quite looking forward to that weekend. I've had my eye on the calendar for a long time.
I think there's a difference between being excited and being hyped.
That's it.
Like, there's always excitement for WrestleMania. I'm always going to be excited for WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania. Even when they were on their turgid run where like every WrestleMania felt like it was the most unwatchable show of the year, there's always still... Yeah, but it's WrestleMania. So like, the Royal Rumble is the same thing.
Yeah.
Even like...
I mean, this year's Royal Rumble was, for some people, a chronic disappointment. And yeah, I was so excited going in because it's the Rumble. And I'll be excited for next year as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Rumble will never fail to disappoint me, even when it's disappointing because it's the Royal Rumble. And then WrestleMania has that same feel to it. But I mean, it's quite a hyperbolic statement to make. Hyperbolic? I don't know the correct way to do
it. I never know. So I just go with it and push past it and hope no one notices.
Because it's hyperbole.
Yeah. Hyperbolic.
But I think it's hyperbolic.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's hyperbolic.
Quite an exaggerated sentence.
Say, since X7. But I am talking about hype more than excitement.
Yeah. And I don't think you're wrong.
I think the levels of hype for this show are at an all-time high.
Yeah.
Even exceeding last year. And people were pretty hyped for it last year. But I think with The Rock coming in, and this Bloodline thing has just been pushed into overdrive. But like, I look at this card, and me and Ollie were almost having an argument in the office of which knight has the better lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
Because each one of them is, like, I think I would say that knight one is the stronger of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to say that there's bad things on Night 2, because Night 2 also has Cody versus Roman in the main event. And it's also got Seth and Drew, and it's got EO and Bailey. Mm. It's still got like some pretty great stuff on there.
Yeah.
But then you look how stacked Night 1 is, and that's what I mean about hype.
Yeah.
And just like everything is just firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I would probably be inclined to say I'm more looking forward to Night 1 than Night 2, but Night 2 is very much predicated on the main event, whereas... Yeah. There's so much other stuff going on that we'll go through it when we see the matches, but could there be an argument that they move one or two things, they swap one or two things around? Because the pace of the show, I was listening to a Mick Foley podcast, and he was talking about how every match has its purpose, and if you go in at 11 every single time, your crowd are going to be exhausted by the end. So you need to be able to amp yourself up. But this card is so stacked that it's like, how do you do that?
Where does that lull come in?
I'll tell you where it comes in when we get there.
Okay.
Because I got one match where I'm like, that's my toilet break, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I've got...
The whole weekend.
Yeah, I think I might have two of those.
I've just seen a second one. Yeah, okay, fine. Good.
So let's get into this. We will be doing our live reactions to WrestleMania from Hooked on Wrestling's event in Old Street. So we're going to have a stacked old room behind us doing the live reactions for this year's WrestleMania. And I'm so excited. I wanted to have a lot of people with me because I want to be in a room filled with people for this year's WrestleMania. That's where my level of hype is. And we're kicking off night one talking about the Women's World Championship match. It's Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Champion's advantage, you do get to go first. These are Laurie's picks you're going to be up against.
This is difficult, though, is because we're kicking off with one where I don't know. Because I pretty much had Becky nailed on since like September, October time.
Sitting there, she's got the book.
Well, this is it. And you know, and a great book it is. I've been reading it all week. And yet, Rhea's reactions are so strong that I'm like, well... You can do a lot worse than keeping it on her. I'm going to stick with my Becky call.
Mm-hmm.
I think we like to cheer our baby faces when they're underdogs, and I do see a potential for a sort of double turn, or at the very least a cementing of Rhea as top baby face. Looks like the Judgment Day are falling to pieces. Looks like her situation with Dom is moving on. So... this is an opportunity, I think, to do something quite interesting with her, and also to do something quite interesting with that belt and Becky as well, I suppose. I think I'm sticking with Becky.
I think what's been really interesting about Rhea is not just they were kind of leading her into that what felt like a babyface turn going into Elimination Chamber, going up against Nia Jax. But I think that now looking post Chamber, that really was just a situational thing as opposed to this is a direction we're heading.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean you couldn't do potentially a double turn at WrestleMania with Becky. But I think the book thing, I think, is what's kind of keeping me on the Becky as a babyface train. Not only that, but you've also set up a program with Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley post WrestleMania. So you kind of want to keep Liv Morgan as a babyface going up against Rhea Ripley. So I'm so interested on this one. Laurie's also gone Becky on this one. I thought one of you might have gone Rhea because in my own, when I do my Wrestle League predictions, I'm going to be picking Rhea Ripley to retain.
It's the Liv Morgan thing. It's the other. There are many other things where I feel like you could make a strong case for Rhea Ripley. There's a lot to do with her still being the champ. That's why it's hard to call. I just think I'm sticking to my guns rather than... You know, but that it certainly won't be my Joker.
How do you feel about this? I did see this as a potential pitch of Ripley retains and retains through to Mania 41.
Hate it.
And you do Rhea versus Bianca, undefeated 2-year champion going up against Miss WrestleMania, undefeated at WrestleMania.
So my problem is we're not even through 40 yet and you're already booking 41. And when you do that, it lends an entire year to an inevitability of, I don't feel any peril for Rhea. And I think my problem, which has
happened this year.
Yeah, my problem with that, with long title reigns like that is, and also it's the way that we as audience members now think, because we're so much more engaged, if that's even possible, and so much smarter, really, I suppose, with we're not just thinking of like the storylines and what would you do with the storyline with it. We're like really thinking of the booking and how do you position the babyface and how do you blah, blah, blah. And WrestleMania is the biggest show, which it is, like, and there's a reason we're all so hyped for it. I feel like long reigns have had their time. It was nice to establish that, you know, titles matter, titles are important, but keeping your product fresh, I think, is going to be key coming out of WrestleMania 40. And I think the way to do that is have the division be competitive. And when I say competitive, it's hard to be competitive if you're just sort of queuing up rotationally to lose to the champion because we're waiting until next year's WrestleMania.
So. And, yeah, I never said it was a good idea.
No, no.
Saying it was a pitch that I saw that I thought was interesting. Speaking of long title reigns, Gunther defends the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn. Where are you falling on this one? Obviously, we talked about this on the Raw podcast yesterday, the training angle that they did and the go-home angle that they did for this. I have kind of been saying for a while that WWE told us up front, this is the Rocky story, which is he lost at Chamber last year, and this is his Rocky 2, so he's going to win the title this time round. But they have also got that Chad Gable factor in there of he wants to be the guy to get his revenge on Gunther.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking? What are you feeling?
I think this is another example where I think they've done a really good job of giving us many different options, because I've made no bones about being team Chad Gable the whole time, but what they've done with Sami is make it really believable that he could be the person to dethrone Gunther, even knowing that Gunther was likely to have been facing Brock Lesnar and thus I would imagine not losing the belt at WrestleMania. They've done enough to make me go, even with that closing angle like we talked about yesterday, they did enough to make me see fear in Gunther's eyes. So it kind of could go both ways. If I were to go with Sami, I can see Chad being like, I helped you win that, can I have a go? And that being an interesting storyline to play with immediately, allowing Gunther some space immediately away from the Intercontinental title scene so that he can move on to his next, I think, which is the main event picture. It's a neat place to take off Gunther. However, I think Gunther might just keep going. I think when I talk about long reigns and there needing to be some, this is the one where I feel like this is a long reign where it has felt competitive, because it's the thing we always talk about. He shows vulnerability. He's a champion. He's a strong person who's not afraid of looking vulnerable to look stronger, if that makes sense. So I'm sticking with Gunther on this one.
Well, Laurie's gone for Sami Zayn on this one. I think it's interesting, and it suddenly kind of hit me while you were talking then. One of the reasons why I think people are looking at WrestleMania as the time to take the belt off Gunther is that idea of moving him away from the IC picture into the world title picture. Bash at Berlin is coming later on this year. But WWE have done a job of presenting the IC title as a really major prize.
Yeah.
So Gunther doesn't need to be going for the World Heavyweight Championship at Bash at Berlin, because that's not necessarily the top prize on Raw. He could go into that as IC champion. And he would make that feel like that is the top prize on that night.
I also feel like the title makes the man and the man makes the title, that whole dynamic. If Gunther's going for your belt, he's done such a good job with the Intercontinental title that it makes your belt feel more important, because it's something that worthy of Gunther, if that makes sense. So having them both together, I was kind of not really here for the double, especially because I saw them all being super long reigns and whatever. But I don't know. I think there is potentially, especially for that post-Mania lull that we do tend to experience, there's something to be said for keeping the title on Gunther so that we can build to maybe a Raw main event to get your eyes on it, because this might be the time he loses it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We have a six-pack tag team ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. However, they did establish on Raw that it is for the individual belts, not like individual.
Could you imagine?
It's like four belts on the line.
Kofi Kingston and Finn Balor become tag champs.
I'd actually love it if it was that way.
Story.
But it's for the Raw Tag Team Championships and for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, as opposed to the collective undisputedness of them all.
Yeah.
So people have been fantasy booking that they're going to split the belts up in this match. This feels like, well, we're definitely now saying, yes, we're splitting these belts up
good
in this match. So I will need two picks from you. Mm-hmm. You can pick the same person twice.
Yeah.
You could still keep them both together, but I did ask Laurie to give me two picks. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say which belt is which. You just pick two winners from this.
Yeah.
This is looking at WrestleMania 2000, my first WrestleMania. This is Chris Jericho versus Benoit versus Angle.
Right.
Fall 1 is for the IC belt. Fall 2 is for the European Championship.
The only tricky thing for me, and I still can't quite get my head around how this is going to look. Like, there's only really one way they can do it, and that's to have two teams retrieve them at the same time.
Yeah.
Because if you're up there already and you pull one down, well, you might as well get the other ones as well, because then you got double the gold. Unless they're not hanging on the same thing and there's two, they're hanging in separate sides of the ring.
That's a fun way of doing it. I thought maybe they'll, you'd pull down one and then the thing gets low and the referee slides in and attaches the new two belts and then they go up and the match sort of carries on as is.
Like a pulley system.
Love yours though. Yeah. Of like them hanging on opposite sides of the ring.
Because there needs,
it's very different.
If you imagine like, oh, I managed to get it quite early on, well, it's then an extra challenge to be able to go and get the other ones.
Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to turn into Gladiator. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Awesome Truth for one of them. I think that is the story that has been told. And I think that doesn't mean I want them to have a long reign. I'd actually quite like them to lose it almost immediately.
I would say, lose them on the Raw after Mania.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it would have been the Baron Corbin, Bron Breakker tag team. Mm-hmm. Just plow through them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that will be the case. But Awesome Truth would be one of them. If you want to make a statement, whack them on the old New Catch Republic. The thing is, none of the others, I don't think it's the Judgment Day. I see this being the end of the Judgment Day, full stop. I'm maybe a bit brand loyal with my picks there, but I feel like it's got to be one of the SmackDown teams, and I certainly don't feel like it's going to be A-Town Down Under, unless you want to reward them because they've been doing some good work. So, yeah, Awesome Truth and New Catch Republic. Sod it. Done.
Laurie has gone for New Catch Republic
and
DIY.
DIY.
And I can certainly see I can understand that pick, mm-hmm. because that is this whole thing with putting DIY. They've been in the company for 10 years. This is their first WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Imagine it's like on their first WrestleMania, they also then win the tag titles. Mm-hmm. But I think you can do that on TV. I would have picked Awesome Truth.
Yeah.
Because I think this whole story has been about, it's Damian Priest versus R-Truth is the real story of this. I'm still stunned in a way that this isn't just a straight up tag match.
I mean, me too. I mean, it's absolutely wild to me that it's not. But because I think you could have had a better opportunity. But that said, if they want to use it as a way to split the belts, it's neater than give me those.
Yeah.
Give me those.
In a brother versus brother match.
This is one of my toilet breaks. I've actually realized there are three.
Yeah. I don't think this has got the hype going into it that it really should have done, considering how hot the Bloodline story is at the moment.
Yeah.
This does not feel like it's connected to this massive Bloodline story that is dominating the main event scene.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy versus Jey Uso. Brother versus brother matches, as outside of Bret and Owen, historically aren't great.
Well, this is it. Like, now that we're very much in storyline, just highlighted that Kane and Undertaker are not brothers, because Cole said it, like, actual brothers.
Boo.
He said like something along the lines of like legitimate real brothers. Yeah. Like, not that work stuff brother. This is the rubber match. We've had one incredible one that wasn't so great.
Yeah.
And then this one could be great. I think
this will be the one.
When I say this is a bathroom break match for me, it's purely down to the heat rather than the talent. I think Jey and Jimmy are both great. I think as a tag team, they are truly one of the best. I'm surprised that I don't want to see it. I think back to last summer, even last year, like the idea of, you know, when it was Sammy was in between Jimmy and Jey in a way, there was a lot of heat, a lot of energy where I was like, well, I'd be kind of interested to see what they do with that story. And I found out what they do with that story, and the answer is not a whole lot.
No, this story,
like the Royal Rumble, they were together. No, I didn't feel anything.
No, well, yeah, I mean, they brought them out 1 and 2. That was supposed to be the big moment, and they didn't feel like the crowd was there for it. And well, I think part of that is, as you say, they split the you know, SummerSlam, Jimmy does the turn and stops Jey from winning the world title, and then they just did nothing for months and months and months and months and months. Jey went to a different show, Jimmy, and the reason for that is because they wanted to do that as a Mania match, and it's like, well, we've got like 8 months until WrestleMania, so let's just separate them away and then we'll bring them back together. But even in bringing back together, they haven't done a great deal. It's just Jimmy stopped him from winning the IC title. And that's broadly about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had that segment.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be different because SmackDown, it's Jay versus Solo. But I don't think Solo feels heated enough. Like, that's why I think the Seth match sort of like felt cold, because I think all the great work that Solo had in squashing John Cena has had no follow-up to it whatsoever. So it doesn't feel hot. And I think, to your point you were saying of like, you don't know why you want to see it, I think there are some tag teams I just don't want to see feud. I didn't want to see Matt versus Jeff.
I didn't.
In a way, I didn't want to see Edge versus Christian because I liked them together.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wanted to see Bubba Ray versus D-Von.
Right. You know, like, yeah, you know, no, like, I agree. And that's not coming from a tag team wrestler should stay in their lane. That's coming from a I love tag teams place. Like, I think they're great as a unit.
Looking at, you know, I know for a fact, I wanted to see Gargano versus Ciampa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, that's NXT's got proven history of that. I know I'd want to see Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne. Mm-hmm. We've got history of that. I know that works. But there are some teams that I see them together, it's like, I wouldn't want to see the Creeds have a match. I want to see Julius versus Brutus. But Dax and Cash, I kind of wanted to
Triple
see
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Like, in a way, like, there are some teams, I've got zero interest in watching Austin Theory versus Grayson Waller. But that's sort of by the by, I guess. Kind of the same with the New Day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see Xavier versus Kofi. I never want to see them break up as an act. Mm. And I've got the same here with Jimmy and Jay. I think they'll have a decent match because they're both really good at what they do, but this doesn't feel as heated as it should do.
I mean
who have you got to win?
I'd go with Jay winning, purely because that's how the story should go. I think narratively that's what you've set up, and it does exist outside of the Bloodline thing, it feels to me. So I can't even think, well, if you're gonna have this win blah, 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 then maybe this one should be, because it just feels separate in
even,
a way.
Even on Raw,
It did.
Like, they brawled to the back, and then The Rock was like, we talked about this yesterday, but like, The Rock just attacked Jay and was like, I'm off now.
Yeah, and then Jay never really came back.
Yeah, and neither did Solo.
Yeah.
Solo just sort of disappeared into the ether. Up next, it is a trios match. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi taking on Damage Control of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. So no women's tag titles on the line this year. The women's tag titles being in this match. But Jade Cargill making her WrestleMania debut in what will be her first match in WWE, because like, the Royal Rumble is a match, but it's not like you made your debut in the Royal Rumble. This is your first match in WWE. I said this on the SmackDown podcast that is lost forever in time. I thought this was a great debut for Cargill on SmackDown. I thought it was just beyond perfect how you did it. You can ask for more. She came out, incredible presentation, cut a very short, simple promo that told you, this is who my character is, and this is what I look like, and this is why you should pay attention to me. And then she came out in the main event and has inserted herself into a storyline that involves Bianca Belair, involves the women's championships, the women's tag team championships, involves the returning Kairi Sane and the returning Naomi. It technically involves Bayley and Io Sky, the women's world champion. Mm-hmm. So like, you couldn't have asked for more of a huge push for Jade Cargill opening doors. And I mean, I'll tell you Laurie's pick now. He's gone for Team Good Guy.
Yeah.
And that would keep up Bianca's undefeated WrestleMania streak. Mm-hmm.
I'm a Team Good Guy as well. I completely agree. My thing with Jade was that, do you remember when Cody did the Cody Vader entrance on like the Raw after Mania, and they had to build his little thing, and then you got the wide shot of it, or like when Edge is doing Brood Edge entrance and he's got his own little stage as well, and it looks a bit funny when it's like cool on camera, but then you see the live crowd shots and it's not as cool. Jade's entrance was almost cooler in the live shots.
Yeah.
Spectacular. I thought every ounce of her presentation was fantastic. I did see a couple of people, and some couple of people tweeted me because I posted that this was just incredible. I was watching it live at the time and I was like out loud, just agape.
Yeah.
And I showed it to my girlfriend the next morning, and she, not a wrestling fan, was like, whoa! Like, she like super responded and I was like, yes, it's got her. I did see some people though, because I'm like, well, this is universally praised. I saw some people being like, I feel like she's just shoved in there with no involvement and there's no, you know, whatever. And like, this is a waste of Jade on her first WrestleMania. I couldn't disagree more. I can see how if you want to see Jade versus Bianca immediately, you would consider that to be a wasted opportunity, but this is your chance to, as you say, maintain Bianca's undefeated streak at WrestleMania, put Jade over as a game-changing star, not to use an internet pun, but give them also the groundwork, the foundation to be able to tell a story between Bianca and Jade. You know, mm-hmm. they team together really well. And there was that moment in the Royal Rumble when they stood opposite each other. I want more moments of Bianca and Jade together to make me salivate for the moment that they oppose. That makes sense.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
The other thing is, me and Sat talked about this on the SmackDown podcast, Lost to Time. But
why is it Lost to Time?
Oh, well, we talked about it on yesterday's Raw podcast, but it's because our internet connection was so bad. And, like, it was all chopping.
We
had to delete it in the end. This is a match. It's a perfect match to debut her in, because this is a match that is specifically designed to hide the negatives and accentuate the positives.
Oh, yeah.
She just needs to go in there and do three things,
mm-hmm.
and she'll look like a star doing them, as opposed to possibly putting her out there in a match with Bianca Belair that might expose Jade Cargill. Mm. Like, you don't want to do that in her first match. You want to do this kind of like what they did with AEW, put her in a big smoke and mirrors match with Shaquille O'Neal and Cody Rhodes and all this sort of stuff, and tables and plunder and whatnot, because that hides the negatives and accentuates the positives.
You know who else they did this with? Ronda Rousey. You know who else main evented the WrestleMania the very next year? Ronda Rousey. Like, that is what this moment can
Absolutely.
Be. And also to see what both Bianca and Jade have said about Naomi. I don't want to remove Naomi from this story, because I think everyone's jumping straight into Jade and Bianca for obvious reasons. But Naomi, I had worried that was going to sort of disappear a little bit. And after the Rumble return, that kind of had happened a little bit. Knowing what Jade and Bianca see Naomi as being and how they all relate to each other is really lovely to see them all have this kind of moment together, and for Naomi to make this return and be on this grand stage as well as part of that team. None of that is to hide away from how great I think Damage Control can be. I think it's Team Good Guy.
I think as a team, they've lost a lot of steam.
That's it. Since
the Rumble.
That's why it can be. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Uh, And our penultimate match for Night 1, Latino World Order of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee are taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Talk about a storyline that just, like, out of nowhere, not that obviously the Rey and Santos stuff's been building for a while. I mean more just Dominic just got inserted into this storyline. So 2 weeks out from WrestleMania, it was like, and Dom hates his dad again, and he's interfering in matches.
Yeah. For me, that one makes more sense than Dragon Lee.
Dragon Lee faced Santos at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, he's done that already. I guess Bad Bunny wasn't available for this tag team.
There's a Carlito right there.
I felt
there.
Really bad for Carlito. Oh, poor Carlito. The crowd was so hyped for him.
I know. Well, it was right there.
Yeah. And I choices. But I look, that's not, none of that is to discount Dragon Lee, who I think is fantastic. But I've sort of seen this wasn't the most exciting option for me.
This is my piss break match.
Right, and I think that's fair. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be fun. But I don't really know what you do, because Santos is kind of doing well in his role, I think, and needs to move past this bit to continue on with his next adventure. But it's WrestleMania. You want the good guys to win. So I don't know. I don't really know what to do. I'm going to go with LWO.
Yeah.
To allow Rey Mysterio to pass the torch to Dragon Lee. There's been all that conversation about he's the next masked luchador star to to be the standard bearer. So this would be a nice place for that to happen. But
Laurie has gone with Santos and Dom, which I don't think is a bad choice. I, in my Wrestle League picks, will be going with Latino World Order.
Yeah.
And that's kind of because, spoilers, what I think will happen in the main event.
Right.
I think you want to give your crowd your happy moment with a legend gets the win on WrestleMania,
yeah,
because of I think what is going to happen in the main event. And let's get to that main event. It does have ramifications for the following night. It is the bloodline of The Rock and Roman Reigns taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the bloodline will be barred from ringside during the night 2 main event. But if the bloodline win, the match on night 2 will be held under bloodline rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I could tell you Laurie has gone for Cody and Seth.
Interesting.
I am going bloodline.
Yeah.
I think this is your... Everyone has been talking about how last year's is Infinity War and then this one is Endgame. If I may, this is tonight... Well, sorry, tonight. Night 1 is your Empire Strikes Back and night 2 will be your Return of the Jedi.
Mm. Because we're going to find out that the Rock is Cody's father?
Well, I mean, that's obviously the... It was never Dusty or Long.
Yeah.
What I mean is just like, I think this is the darkest before the dawn. And this is the bloodline win, Cody and Seth. I also think, this is my big prediction, Rock pins Cody.
Woof.
To set up what's happening on night 2.
Interesting.
Crestfallen, yeah. Cody, sad Seth.
So my argument, I think the bloodline win this too, because I think that allows for what we... I think that's what's been set up elsewhere. My argument for Laurie's pick of Seth and Cody winning is that you want your world champion to go into his match looking
absolutely
good. So maybe Seth gets a pin on Rock. I don't think Roman gets pinned the night before if you want the belt coming off Roman.
Absolutely not.
I just think if I'm looking at all my options and how I think the rest of the weekend's going to go, logically speaking, bloodline win. I hadn't thought about the Rock pinning Cody. I imagined Rock pinning Seth, because Rock and Seth have had a bit back and forth. I thought they've laid that quite well. And again, if Seth were to get the win, I would imagine Seth pinning Rock, like I said. So I think that's going to be the combination that ends it. I do think that the showcase of what happens when the bloodline rules are in effect, which was the tableau that closed Raw last Monday, that was the one that sort of indicated to me, right, this is going to be bloodline rules, so that you've had a taste of it, and now you know Cody what to overcome. That leads us into my night 2 predictions. So I see bloodline winning this one.
I don't disagree with what Laurie has said in terms of why he's picked it. And again, it ties into what you were saying there, is that, well, you can't pin Roman because he is the guy who's only been pinned once in these 4 years or whatever it is. You can't pin The Rock. He's just come back and he's The Rock. you don't really want to pin Cody because he's going for the main title on night two. And you don't really want to pin Seth because he's the world champion and he's going to be facing Drew the following night for the world title. Mm. It is a match where really you don't want to be pinning any of them. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, with some capital D drama, Rock pinning Cody is capital D drama.
Yeah.
In a world where wins and losses don't matter, which WWE tell us a lot, in a world where wins and losses do not matter, pinning Cody is the best for drama.
Mm. Interesting. I don't want to see it.
Well, I mean, you're going to be there for night one live reaction, yeah. So...
Imagine.
Oh, imagine.
My death stare. Yeah,
crestfallen Dan. So let's move into night two. I will be giving you... I mean, we'll get your predictions for this. And I'll give Sat's predictions on this.
I'm also going to change arms for night two.
Smart.
It's heavier than you would think.
We'll get Laurie's predictions for night two as well. But because I've got the PNGs, I don't want things too cluttered.
Right.
Here, so I'm going to reset the PNGs. With a wave of my hands and thanks to Editor Ellis. But we'll get your predictions for night two, should you retain. Mm-hmm. But if we go into with Laurie on night two, we'll have a different set of predictions, which we'll go over on the live reactions. So let's kick things off on night two with Seth versus Drew for the World Heavyweight Championship with CM Punk on commentary.
Again, I had written this one off ages ago, being like, this is the moment, you do it. And then little bits and bobs they did during the storyline made me go, oh, maybe you do keep it on Seth for a little bit longer. But no, I'm going to pick Drew. I'm going to commit to Drew. And I'm quite intrigued by the announcement that has come about Glasgow. Because Drew McIntyre walking into Glasgow with his championship feels like a big moment.
Sure does. It's Rhea Ripley in Australia.
And I would rather that than him win it in Glasgow, if that makes sense. So I feel like, give him the belt now. Because it becomes the underdog story. And I think they've done a really masterful job of making this underdog story of I never got my moment, I now really want my moment, the biggest heel run he's ever had kind of thing.
Yeah. I think the argument you could make of you could have him going into Clash at the Castle 2 looking to win the belt because he didn't get that moment at Clash at the Castle 1. But you've kind of done that story already. So I agree with you. Him going in as champion, I think, gives you more Rhea Ripley Elimination Chamber vibes.
He could do a whole Braveheart thing trying to free us from CM Punk by, like, if he's the champion, he's going to...
Drew versus Punk
at Clash of the Castle.
If Punk is... better by then. Yeah. And he did say on that Helwani interview that he is like, so he's healing up quicker.
Get into this, because this is there are so many things to talk about with that interview, but one of the things I thought is how often Punk talked about and how regularly he showed how good he is at finding that line between real and fake, right? And the shoot and work stuff. He might be healing faster than the other one. But I reckon at WrestleMania, Drew's going to do something to it to keep him out just that little bit longer in storyline. Because, you know, the tease, we've had him back a couple of times. I've just saw myself on the idea of Drew McIntyre acting all Braveheart. You know, we'll never take our freedom away from a wrestling world with CM Punk in it. This is my final moment to bury you. I don't know. I think Drew McIntyre is going to win it. I think he's going to be on his top form as he has been this whole run. And I love that for him.
Seth is also going for Drew McIntyre. Did I say Seth? Sat.
Seth is going for Drew McIntyre.
Well, yeah, he is at WrestleMania. Yeah. Yeah, he's also going for him. And Sat has picked Drew McIntyre.
Saved it. Nobody noticed.
No one noticed. Ellis could fix that in the edit.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going with Drew. I'm also going with Drew in my Wrestle League predictions. I think this is Drew's match to win. Mm-hmm. I think this Seth run has been... fine for the most part. I think we are ready for the next chapter of this belt. Mm. And I think Drew is that next chapter. Yeah. I also think he's for sure re-signing.
I think the Glasgow money has probably afforded him a new contract. Like, air is so close to Glasgow.
Up next for the WWE Women's Championship, it is Io Sky taking on the 2024 Royal Rumble winner. Not that she's ever announced as such, unlike Cody Rhodes, who gets announced all the time. Bayley.
Yeah.
The most disrespected person in WWE.
I completely agree. I'm really disappointed in this build.
Me too.
I don't know if it's because they had a plan to involve Sasha that went wrong, or rather didn't come to fruition, that and that made the writer's room go a little bit cold on the angle. I don't know if it's just because they realized that they had more work to do to move Bailey from heel to face. And so they sort of plotted it out a bit further. They've done their plotting a little bit wrong. For whatever reason, I feel cold. Yes, that's it. And actually, at what Bianca has been talking about of like, you don't get to just turn on them and suddenly everything's fine. That's way more compelling. Mm-hmm. So I don't know with this one now. I'm going to pick Bailey because it feels like a good moment for it. But if you want Damage Control to come out looking not the worst when they've got the tag team titles, maybe Io does retain. Actually, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to have Io retain.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
I'm going to have Io retain and have it be Bailey's moment that starts her realizing she's got to go on a redemption journey. It's not going to be that simple.
I've got Bailey in my Wrestle League predictions. I've also got the return of the hugger theme.
That's what I mean. I don't think we're there. I thought we'd end up there. When we were thinking about things that might go ahead and when we were predicting Royal Rumble, I was like, right, we have several months now to begin this redemptive journey. And Bailey realizes that they're not her friends. She needs to find new friends. She needs to find herself, blah, 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 outside of Damage Control. And then we get the hugger theme returns at WrestleMania. I don't think the storyline has earned that yet.
It's kind of like a Batman v Superman. They did not earn the death of Superman.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that moment when they come back, I think it's going to be incredible. And I think it should have happened at this WrestleMania, but we aren't there.
I think that's
so
fair.
I think save it for a little bit down the line. And Bailey going to Bianca with her tail between her legs and saying, I know I have a lot more to earn. Maybe she wins it at SummerSlam. I don't know. I think now that I've talked myself out of it, I think Io's
going to retain. I think you're pretty bag on the banana. I'm sticking with Bailey though.
Yeah. What about Sat?
Sat is going for Bailey.
Cool.
So that's our first big difference of the evening for night two. Up next in a match that I think some people are pretty down on.
Here's my toilet break for night two.
I've got two then.
I also have two on night two.
Yeah.
It's got a really long queue.
It's LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I said at Crown Jewel, once Logan Paul won that US title, I was like, oh, this perfectly sets up Logan versus LA Knight at WrestleMania, and you can give LA Knight that big WrestleMania moment. And I think it says a lot about how LA Knight versus AJ Styles should feel like a really big deal because it's AJ Styles. He's like, he's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. This should feel like this is a big WrestleMania moment. But this feels like it's a Fastlane match as opposed to a WrestleMania match.
Absolutely. I was going to say the exact same thing. It feels like a B pay-per-view build.
Yeah.
And because, like, to be clear, I've enjoyed some of the build.
I thought the home invasion thing was quite fun.
Big time. And I liked the silliness of the SmackDown one where he's pretending to be a security guard. Where it's
Gene Parmesan from Arrested Development.
Exactly.
Gene!
Yeah. I thought, like, it was a bit silly. It's not WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's not WrestleMania for AJ Styles. But I enjoyed it, and I think the match will be good. I just think it feels like an outlier on this card.
I think so, too.
So I'm going to go with LA Knight.
Let's have a look. Yes, that's also gone for LA Knight.
Yeah.
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 Poor old AJ.
Yeah.
He always has a bad WrestleMania, does AJ?
AJ and Asuka, those are the ones who struggle.
Yeah. Logan Paul defends that United States Championship in a triple threat with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I feel like the returning Randy Orton kind of pushed LA Knight out of this position.
I think the reaction to the returning Randy Orton did. I think the not just that he got the big pop on the night, but it was sustained, and it looks like he's got a new lease on life. I think it looks like there's a perfect meeting of his return, his energy, his passion for his return after thinking he was maybe never going to get it again, and the crowd's continued response for him have made a moment where it's like, you get this. You get this, Rob.
I can tell you that Sat has gone for, where is he? He's gone for Logan Paul to retain here. In my Wrestle League predictions, I'm doing the same. I think Orton and Owens almost cancel each other out.
I know what you mean.
And I don't think people are clamoring for US champ Randy Orton. And I don't know what it does for Owens either.
Yeah, I don't think it does anything for Owens. But I am going to go with Randy. Because I think as a welcome back, thank you, good to have you back, John Cena WrestleMania 31 kind of United States title win.
Uh-huh.
I see that for Randy. So I'm picking Randy for that reason.
Very, very interesting. Here is my second piss match. It is apparently the Pride is what
are they called that officially?
I don't know. It's what it says on Wikipedia. Wikipedia says a lot of things.
I have a real bugbear with people giving people names that aren't official. Like when you kept calling the new Catch Republic British Strong Style, which I know is what they were.
That is their name.
But it wasn't on screen.
Yeah.
So wasn't their name. These guys aren't the Pride unless it's been said on screen, crack on. But otherwise, we're just assigning a name to them.
I'm pretty sure in the match graphic will have been on screen in this edit, but as we're recording this, I'm pretty sure in the match graphic it just says Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits.
So that's what their name is to me. If I'm wrong, I'll hold my hands up. But I don't like it until it's on screen.
But anyway, it is Bobby Lashley and Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford taking on the final testament of Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar. I thought there was going to be two faction warfare matches because there's like LWO versus Legado del Fantasma, and they sort of insert, you know, they had like Elektra come in to be like, oh, and that's the Zelina Vega versus Elektra part of this eight-person tag match you do. And then when they had B-Fab join...
Yep.
And Lashley's crew, and I was like, oh, and that's your B-Fab and Scarlet moment in your eight-person tag match.
Who do you think is their who is the Pride's Paul Ellering?
It's Bobby Lashley's left arm, which I think is the manager of the group. It's so massive, it's its own person.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's a trios match, a Philadelphia street fight, had been reported by Dave Meltzer ahead of time, but it's going to be Lashley, the Pride versus the Final Testament. Who've you got?
Well, first of all, I'm astonished this match is on the card because I could have sworn the other day I heard Karrion Kross screaming that no one was getting on WrestleMania.
He did say that.
And now they're all
like,
on
why
WrestleMania.
Why would you want that, Karrion? Yeah. Surely you want to be on WrestleMania.
You took us out of it, so now we're going to take you out of it. Something I don't know, but whatever. Final Testament? I think the Pride can... I think Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits can... They can take the loss, and Karrion Kross, in particular, of the Final Testament, can't. I think if he's got any hope of stopping floundering, giving him a big win.
Yeah,
I say big with a small b.
Yeah, I mean it's nice that Lashley got on the WrestleMania card this year.
Finally,
Testament. But this doesn't feel like the big Bobby Lashley feels like Randy Orton in the WrestleMania 27 through 29 phase of his career, where it's just like, oh, you've got a match with Kane.
Yeah.
All right, cool. What else am I doing? You're teaming with the Big Show and Sheamus against the Shield. All right. Yeah, what else am I doing? Punk and the new Nexus are banned from ringside. I was like, all right. It's like, I'm Randy Orton. Can I have something bigger than this? Now, I feel like that's where Bobby Lashley is at the moment. I think I'd have picked Lashley and crew.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, though. Karrion Kross needs this more than Lashley does.
Yeah.
Because this group ain't getting over it. And this Karrion Kross, I would argue, I think he's been the biggest flop of the Triple H era.
Yeah, I think I'd agree.
With the most pushes.
If I can be honest, I don't think the Lashley Street Profits thing has sung either. I think it did at the beginning. I think there was a real look... change, a real attitude change, a real energy change. I was like, oh, this is slick. They've needed it for a little while. They're now just the Street Profits again. Like, it's not like they've developed or moved anywhere else.
Yeah, their characters haven't changed at all.
No.
I think B-Fab adds nothing to this
yeah,
group.
And that's not disrespect to B-Fab either. I just don't care about this.
Well,
but I know what's that done?
Sat has gone for Lashley and mates.
Yeah, that scans.
However, I know you do care about the main event.
Wow.
It is a TBD match because it may be a straight singles match with no bloodline, or it'll be a bloodline rules match of Roman Reigns defending the Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes.
I've gone for Cody Rhodes.
I mean, Sat's gone for Cody here.
I need it to be Cody Rhodes.
I get the argument of... one more year.
Oh, piss off.
I'm not saying I agree with it.
You said you get it.
I get it. I get an argument.
Get it.
I small g get the argument, but I wouldn't.
No.
I think you have gone too far now.
Yeah.
I thought last year you were like, you've set up the time perfectly to do this. this year, I'm like, no, but seriously, though, this time you have set this up too perfectly for it not to be Cody Rhodes this time. I think it has to be Cody Rhodes this time. I'm willing it to be Cody Rhodes this time. Mm. I'm excited for it to be Cody Rhodes this time. I think this, this is Cody Rhodes' match.
Yeah. I think that this is the Rocky 2, if I'm not wrong. Is that how it goes?
I mean, I'll be honest, it's more Rocky 2 than Sami Zayn versus Gunther. At least it's the same guy going against the other same guy for the same belt.
Also in
Rocky 2, Clubber Lang won a match on night one to set the boxing rules.
Is that true?
No, it's not. Of course it's not.
But maybe in Rocky 3, Hulk Hogan will be around. Like, who knows?
And I might say Clubber Lang there as well. I mean, Apollo Creed.
I've seen Spice World.
Clubber Lang is Rocky 3. It's a great... Rocky 3 is great.
See all the movies. I should see
Rocky.
No, that's for no one has said this until now, and I feel like it was due. Look, in hindsight, I'm looking back at the last year, and I think half of it was actually kind of effective. The other half of it was not. Do I think any of it needed to have the belt on Roman? No, but they kept the belt on Roman, and as a result, his dominance at Night of Champions, that when they did the tag thing there, it was super interesting. I liked that with the big turn, then Money in the Bank, and then even going into SummerSlam, I was like, right, this has been really engaging.
It's been a 3-month great build.
Yeah, and then from that moment on, where's your belt? Where's your champ?
Yeah.
Where's it gone? And
I thought the build to the Rumble was
poor.
Poor.
I thought the build to Crown Jewel was poor. I thought this has been good. This has been exquisite. In many different ways.
I completely agree with you. And I know that a lot of people are pointing to how good this has been as the justification of like,
They
shouldn't have put the belt on. My counter to that is, remove The Rock.
Right.
I don't think this has got the heat.
Yeah.
The Rock has got the heat. I think Cody versus Rock, Rock versus Seth, I think that is really well heated. I don't think Roman and Cody has the same level of heat. I think there's less interest going into this match than there is for the night one tag match.
Yeah.
So you remove Rock from this build. I don't think that this justifies the decision that was made last year. However, this is the world we do live in.
Yeah.
So The Rock is in this, and The Rock has been so good during all of this that it does make me go like, man, totally the right call last year, because I think that I'm so more excited for this match than I was for last year's main events.
I think when you then look at everything on reflection, you look at the whole picture, you consider that counterfactual of the idea that when they put a belt on him, then it does lead me to think the time is now.
Time is now.
When you think about, as we sort of spoke about yesterday, Cody getting that Austin level reaction of music hits, crowd loses their mind on the end of Raw. That almost, I thought the entire closing segment of Raw kind of showed you the kind of thing the crowd wants to see in the WrestleMania main event. And I just think it's the best move for business. Like, I don't almost like the phrasing coming out of my mouth, but I was watching, before we came down to film this, I was watching the Roman Reigns biography, the A&E show, and it starts with this scene setting montage narrated by him in a way. And what he talks about is how he's here to make the most money. Like, it's about, you know, the business and making all this money. And I think the way you do that with Roman Reigns going forward, not even talking about Cody, but I think you make more money with Roman Reigns not having that belt than you do with him having that belt going forward. I think this is your moment to capitalize, to cement a new era, a new star, a new top dog, to show to talent all over the world that you can do what Cody did and still be considered big. Not to encourage everybody to leave, the opposite, to encourage them to come to you, because look what happens when you come here. You could be the biggest star in our company, and then you get to play with the fourth inning of, to use the baseball terminology that I don't understand, that Paul Heyman likes. You can begin this new chapter for Roman Reigns. What is it when Roman Reigns' mask has slipped? What is it when greatness on a different level suddenly goes down a level? Does he go away? Does he come back at the... You could do Cody Romans 3 at WrestleMania 41, but with the roles reversed, with Roman winning the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely.
Like, there's so much more money that you can make on a business standpoint. If I'm in that creative room, I'm not leaving until I get my way. So Cody's winning the belt. I will be holding my breath the whole match because I don't believe it as I say it, mm-hmm. because it didn't happen last year and because I've been burned by this company. That is the other thing, and this will be sort of my final point. As a fan, there's only so much investment I can give you before you don't show me a return on my investment. If Cody loses the belt, and it's not even necessarily to do with Cody, but if Roman doesn't lose the belt at this stage, I wonder if I'm going to get a return on my investment. I'm not inclined to tune in anymore.
I don't think you're alone in that, and that is why I feel like it has to be a Cody win.
And if I'm saying that, by the way,
yeah,
like I'm someone who has the longest leash in the world. Like,
I honestly, I think this has to be a Cody win. Mm. I think you lose so much good faith if you have Roman win here. With that said, and I know that Ollie's pitched this, and I love it, because maybe I'm a bit of a chaos gremlin, but I also think it adds more capital D drama, is that Roman does pin Cody. And there is a match restart element. There's a dusty finish. Because I think that does still reward those who have invested in this, because Cody does eventually
maybe
win.
Maybe this is where Triple H gets back into the story and he comes out and it's like, no, not my company, not now.
Not WrestleMania 40. There's 40 years of WrestleMania. We're not doing it this way. Which does make him a little bit Bret Hart at Starrcade 97, which didn't exactly do wonders for Bret Hart or for that match, for that matter. But yeah, I mean, I suppose you don't want a Starrcade 97 this.
You don't want a dusty finish. Dusty didn't like the dusty finish. So I feel like it's not honoring the memory of Dusty Rhodes.
I understand that. But Cody came in and his first promo was that story.
Yeah.
Of, my dad thought he'd won the world title and he hadn't.
Just
so,
if you
like,
can...
like I said, that as a full circle thing is quite nice and it's quite poetic. But my point still stands. I want WrestleMania 42 end with Cody holding aloft that belt.
You better. I've changed my mind. The Bloodline are losing on night one, so it can be a clean match. No interference, no nonsense. It's all fine.
So you're going with Cody.
Cody's win.
Sat has gone with Cody as well. I'm going with Cody. Not that it matters particularly much, but...
The world is going with Cody.
I think the world is going with Cody, but I think there will be some that were like, no, the best thing to do will be. But I think those people are wrong.
I think they're mean.
But there you go. That is our WrestleMania predictions. A lot of matches to cover here. Leave a comment down below with what you thought and what you think will happen at WrestleMania. Get in your Wrestle League predictions as well, and we will see you this Saturday and this Sunday live from Hooked on Wrestling's event in Shoreditch in London, where we'll be doing our WrestleMania live reactions, where Dan Layton will be defending his Jam That Championship night one against Laurie Blake and night two against Sat E. Niangi, should he get through night one. And until then, I've been Lee Cohen, DAD. That has been Dan Layton. Subscribe, like, get all that good stuff, and Jam That Jam.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.